Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Most of you maybe have heard the prophetic word or the statement that God gave us after Pastor Andrew and I, after praying about 3 months, God really gave us the word for the year, which kind of launches us into the focus and the purpose and the direction of 2010. And it's a new decade. It makes, I like New Year's because it gives you kind of an opportunity to think, okay, what more could I do for God? Yes. Not looking back, but pressing on. Yes. And so as we come into a new year, hopefully our mindset isn't like this in 2009, but we're looking to Jesus and coming into 2010, hearing his voice and walking in what he is saying. And the word that God has given us is reigning in life and bringing his rule. Reigning in life and bringing his rule. Now, last time we met, we talked about how Adam lost, through sin, the dominion that God created him to walk in. God made man in his image, in his likeness, male and female, he created them. He gave them dominion over all the works of his hands, over the earth. And he made man to be a ruler under him as king. So in right relationship with God, man was created to kind of sort the earth, to take responsibility. You know, in my house, I take responsibility for my house. I can't complain that things go on in my house. The only person I can complain to is me, because actually I'm responsible for that. And God made man to be responsible for the earth. Now, through sin, Adam lost that relationship with God. He fell. But he lost not just relationship, he lost his authority. And Satan actually became his master. Satan became, as Jesus said in John, he's the God of this world. The small g, God, but he is the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. That's why when we look at Haiti and the circumstances there, we see that this world does not reflect the kingdom of heaven perfectly yet. Because heaven isn't anything to do with devastation. And so we have this clear picture that bringing God's reign will mean bringing good things into the earth. God's goodness. We also saw last time that the kingdom of heaven, even though mankind lost, God began to work through individuals, Abraham, people, men of covenant, men of relationship with God. And in that relationship, he began to show that whatever, God's kingdom rules over all. And Daniel had this incredible vision or interpretation of a dream that all other kingdoms were inferior to the kingdom of heaven. And that God would, without human hands, bring out this rock, the kingdom of heaven, that would actually shatter and break into pieces all other kingdoms. Babylonian kingdom, the Greek, Mede and Persian kingdoms, so that every other kingdom would be shown to be inferior to the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that no matter what, the kingdom of heaven rules over all, but the reality of that rule is not outworked in perfection yet. But one day, the kingdom of heaven will fill the whole earth. And so we see that we are in a process, we're in a time zone. You are born in time. Okay, even though you're eternal, you will live forever, you are born in time, to live in time. And we see that in time, God is wanting the kingdom of heaven to increase, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And God uses people to increase his government. Now, Jesus came to bring the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. repent and believe the good news. Jesus didn't just come and say, forgiveness of sins is at hand. It's important we understand the message that he preached. He didn't just say, forgiveness is here, although of course it is. He said the kingdom, or the kingdom is the king's domain, the king's rule. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it was much more than just you and I going to heaven. He came to bring and give the kingdom to believers in Jesus. And that meant that they became part of the king's domain and became those who brought the king's domain in their world. Okay, so God's got much more of a vision for you than just your life. God is wanting to bring the reign of heaven through your life into the world. Okay, so very important we understand that Jesus came for his kingdom, to bring his kingdom into the earth. And he does that as individuals repent and believe the good news. So Jesus said, those who enter the kingdom enter through repentance and faith. You can't come into the kingdom without being changed completely. You can't enter the kingdom with your own qualifications. You can only enter through faith in Jesus. And the old person is unacceptable in the kingdom. So before you're a Christian, you are totally unacceptable in the kingdom. But through faith, through repentance, turning to Jesus, believing that he died and rose again, receiving him as Lord and Savior, God then makes you a new person. It's called the new birth. So only the new birth, those who are born again, can come into the kingdom. Okay? People who just speak about Jesus but are not born again do not enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who are born again through faith in Jesus. That's the miracle of the new birth. The miracle of God's amazing grace is that he takes out our old heart and he puts a new heart within us and he puts his spirit within us. And we become, instead of sinners, we become saints. So we have a new nature, which is actually God's nature. And we become citizens of heaven. Tell your neighbor, if they're born again, they're a citizen of heaven. Just say, you're a citizen of heaven. Okay, that's a slight introduction, because I just need a bit of a catch up with your mind. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1. So we're all singing off the same. It's definitely not a hymn sheet anymore. It's not even an overhead projector. It is a projector. But we're singing off the same understanding. Okay, so we know we're born again. The only way you can come into the kingdom is to be born again. The reign of God begins in your life through the new birth. The reign of God begins in your life through the new birth. Colossians chapter 1. It's fantastic verses. Verse 13, it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Jesus has rescued us. So we needed rescuing. Okay, when somebody is unable to save themselves, they need a rescuer. So Jesus came and rescued. Now he rescued us from under the dominion or the reign of Satan, of darkness, and took us out or transferred us into the kingdom of heaven, which means you and I are currently in a new location. So when you're born again, you enter a new location. Spiritually, you no longer live under the dominion of darkness. The truth is, you now live in the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, that's why when people say that they need deliverance ministry, we have to qualify what that means. Because if I've been born again, I have already been delivered. So the scripture says, I have been delivered out of darkness. And I have been placed in the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we may need a bit of kind of mind renewal. We may need to see the authority of the kingdom at work in our lives. But there is no way the devil is any longer my master. Because Jesus is my Lord in the kingdom. So Satan's power has been broken over you. His power has been broken over you. He doesn't have power over a new creation. Unless we give it to him. But positionally, you and I have freedom in the kingdom because we're in Christ. It's very important your thinking is lining up with truth. So we're in a new kingdom. We're a new creation. We're citizens of heaven. Can I have the next slide, please? A citizen of heaven in a new location. Next one, please. Turn to God. So, we have already turned, but we need to turn to God continually away from living like we still lived before we were saved. I can't tell you how important this teaching is this morning. Not only are you out from under the power of the enemy, it also requires a new way of living in the kingdom. If you've ever been to a nation which is totally different to your own, a culture, you will know you have to learn the ways of that culture to get on in that culture. You know that, don't you? Well, you are actually in another kingdom. And the old ways don't work in this kingdom. And the old ways of thinking don't work in this kingdom. That's why a whole lot of baggage has to come off so that you can actually live in the kingdom. So your thinking and your way of life is kingdom living. Do you understand that? So that the kingdom of heaven is actually changing. So we keep turning from old ways. We come into a new way of living or a new way of thinking. So we live different. We think different in the kingdom. We need to shift our thinking about ourselves. Who we are and what we can do. Okay? Some Christians spend their whole lives thanking God they're saved, but never shift their thinking into reigning in life and living as a son of God. And what it actually means to bring the kingdom of heaven into people's lives. It is, Jesus didn't just come to save you. He came for you to possess the kingdom and see the kingdom of heaven come through your life. So, we turn to God away from our old ways of living. We shift our thinking. Is there another point? Kingdom living and kingdom mentality is required for a citizen of heaven. Okay, now, let me just unpack this. Because you will be frustrated all your life if you don't understand that you have to live a different way in the kingdom. Because you'll bring from the old life ways you used to live over and they won't work here. There are so many Christians that are frustrated saying, why doesn't my new life work? Well, it's because you haven't changed the way you live. The laws of the kingdom, Jesus said, operate very differently to the laws of the world. So one of the laws of the kingdom is that actually you live by giving. The laws of the kingdom of darkness is you live by taking. Slightly different, isn't it? Is that different? In the world, people live for what they can get. In the kingdom, we live for what we can give. Because we know that giving actually releases provision into our lives. In whatever way. If we give love, we find that actually love is released in our lives. Give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So the way we live or our thinking in the kingdom of heaven has to change. And if we are going to bring the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God, this year, that means a shift in thinking or a shift in behavior in the way we live. And God actually wants you to win, but you cannot win your way. You can only win his way. Because only his way works, which is why he gave us the word. How do we know the ways of God? Here we go. It's called the Bible. And how do we really know the Bible? Through the Holy Spirit. He gives us understanding and guides us into knowledge and right knowledge. Now, let's turn to John. I hope I'm not bamboozling you this morning. I just trust that you're... I never want to go on and on and on, but I do want you to get the truth that sets you free. And this is one of the things that when you're living in the kingdom as a citizen of heaven, more than looking at what the newspapers say, more than what magazines say you are, more than what your friends or your family might say you are, we must be more convinced by who God says we are. Because if we don't make the shift in our thinking, we will live a less than life, even though we have already the best life. But your experience won't match your position. And God wants both your position and your experience of abundant life. Yeah? And so Jesus said, he showed us so simply how we can live this kingdom life. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus, to the Jews who had believed in him, so these are believers. There were many Jews, but not all were believers. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is telling us how to live in the kingdom. Okay? So he's saying, kingdom people are disciples or followers of Jesus. It's interesting that followers of Jesus were not called Christians initially. They were called followers of the way. That was their first name. Why? Because to be a Christian isn't coming forward for a prayer to receive Jesus. To be a Christian is actually primarily to be a disciple, which is somebody who is following the way of Jesus. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven is the way of Jesus. The kingdom of this world is the way of Satan. Clear. There are only two kingdoms. And Jesus said, if you're my disciples, you will prove it by continuing in my word. Okay, so he speaks about continuing or abiding in the word, in his word. That means to continue, it means to hear and do the word. Let's look at that. Jesus doesn't just mean to, for a moment, have an experience with truth. But he actually means to hear and act on the word. So disciples are those who hear and act on the word. Those who continue in my word will know the truth. Then Jesus said, true knowledge, knowing truth, is what we call divine light and revelation. So only through knowing truth, because God himself is truth, and Jesus said, my word is true. Only through knowing the truth can you receive knowledge of God, light and revelation. God does not work in darkness. He only works in truth. Okay, so Jesus said, you continue in my word. That's why the word is the most important part of a believer's life, because the word of God is more important than anybody else's. Isn't it? God's word is of primary importance. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, knowledge of God is divine light and revelation, but there is a lot of other knowledge out there. Okay, so we could call that knowledge dark knowledge. Say dark knowledge. Now, not all dark knowledge is bad, but it doesn't have truth in it. So, for example, you can go to school, you can be educated. All those things are bringing out the potential of God in you. So we are not against education. We believe God gives education to release people's gifts. But only education without knowledge of God will be a waste of a person's life. Because we know that knowledge of God is of primary importance. We've been created to know God. Every person has been made to know God. And so dark knowledge is really coming from the world or from the intellect. Now, please hear me. It's not that it's bad. It just means that light from God is more powerful and has the ability to change what dark knowledge says is the situation. You understand that? So a doctor can say, you have this, which is a fact. But divine knowledge actually overrides and is more powerful and is able to change facts. Okay, so we need to understand the source of our lives needs to be God's truth. And Jesus is the truth. If you continue in my truth, continue to hear and do my word, in that continuing, you will know the truth. You will have knowledge of God. And the truth will set you free. Like I said, I'm teaching here to grow us up. This is complicated because it's not for babies. I'm wanting us to see spiritual truths and be mature in receiving it. Because you've got to grow up to reign in life. And so we need to separate. In any given situation, I may have information about something. But if I turn to God and get revelation, I know that is what God is going to do. Despite what my intellect has been informed of. Isn't that good? You cannot reign in life without divine knowledge. Hello? You need light. You need the word. You need the truth to reign in life. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So, We need to renew our minds when we have divine knowledge. And to renew our minds, that means our mind isn't dominated by the intellect. Okay, look, I am a new creation. I'm a citizen of heaven. But that will not change me unless my mind gets changed. It is the truth. But I'll only live as a citizen of heaven when I actually renew my mind and say, do you know what? I'm a citizen of heaven. Not when I go to heaven, but now. And that means I live in the kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven lives in me. I actually already have the kingdom. And so everything I will ever need is already within me. But I need to live as a citizen. Now that, if your mind doesn't change, then you can't benefit from the new life, the miracle of the new birth. If your mind is dominated by what people say and not what God says, then you can actually live your life inferior, losing in life. But if your mindset comes into, hey, I'm a son of God, I'm accepted. In fact, I'm absolutely loved by God. And my mind is being changed by the truth. That truth, if I continue in it, will set me free. I was hearing about Liverpool football team, how they're on a losing streak. Has anybody heard that? Sorry, I don't want to say that too much. I hope you don't support Liverpool, but they're losing. But isn't it interesting how probably one of the best football teams can hit a losing streak? And I was thinking about that. I wonder what happened. Because if you lose once, they go out again and think they're going to lose. And then the next time it's compounded, so they lose again. And it's like a losing mentality. Now, God has made us winners in Christ. But our mentality needs to shift from losers to winners. If you're going to benefit from what God has done. And the way you do that is through truth that sets you free. Now look with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse, I think you know it, 17. Speaking about how death came through sin and reigned through all. So it came through Adam. Verse 17. For if the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Essentially, if you know this truth will set you free. Okay? Not hear it alone, but if you know it, continue in it, it will set you free. So this word is telling us that those who've received Jesus have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. A gift is not earned, it's freely given. And so God has given his righteousness by you trusting in Jesus. Now this is so important that we understand how the Christian life works. Because it doesn't just work because you take it as a thought on a Sunday and forget it on Monday. But if I have received the gift of righteousness through the new birth, I actually have Jesus as my righteousness. Jesus is the perfect one. He lives in me through his spirit. And so in me is perfection. Okay, so righteousness is right standing with God. Through the gift of righteousness, God has brought us into right standing with God. Now, by faith. Not by works, but by faith. How does this change our lives? Well, because it brings us into this sense of no guilt before God. If I'm righteous, He has made me right, I'm not guilty. Satan might accuse me, others may say I'm guilty, but God says I'm righteous. My performance is not what justifies me. My faith justifies me in Jesus. I am justified by faith in Jesus, not by works. And so this gift of righteousness lifts me to where Jesus is in right relationship with God. Now, so many Christians live in inferiority or condemnation. Condemnation is a fear of being judged because you're guilty. Now, we know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but let's not camp there. Because we're not living there. We're in the kingdom. We don't camp in I did sin. We camp in, I am the righteousness of God. You see, unless we change and shift our thinking to righteousness consciousness, where our mind is actually a kingdom mindset, then we can't reign in life. Inferiority is one of the attacks of the enemy on the body of Christ. He makes us feel inferior. Inferiority means I feel less than somebody else. I don't feel as good as others. I miss the mark, or I don't make the grade. Inferiority is the enemy's weapon to attack your righteousness. Because you are righteous in Christ. That means God does not judge you, He accepts you. Now, if we don't live in that mindset, we cannot enjoy the benefits of it. So we'll walk around always saying sorry for our failures. Now, we need to confess our sin when we sin. But the expectation of Scripture is that we won't sin because we are righteous. There is no expectation of God that you will fail when you're tempted to sin. He doesn't go, ooh, gosh, I don't know. I don't know if what I've done is enough. Righteousness, the nature, divine nature of God in you, is a powerful force to change your behavior. So before you were saved or born again, you actually couldn't help sinning. Now it's difficult for you to sin. I may as well preach the truth. It'll set you free. It's actually difficult for you to sin. But if you're thinking, you've got to think righteous, not just believe you're righteous. Your mindset has to completely change, because as you think, you are. So if you meditate on I'm the righteousness of God, why should I mess with that stuff? That's the other kingdom. That doesn't happen in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, you get a different way of thinking. Let's just turn to Romans 10, because we see here. I have known Christians who have reached the end of their life and never knew they were righteous. This is the truth that will set you free. And so they struggled always with their prayer life. Because they always felt ashamed in the presence of God. I've even known leaders of churches not know this. And it's the knowledge of this truth that sets you free and sets the church free. And people walk around in inferior, oh God, please, instead of like Jesus, bold, confident with his Father, not based on self, but on the Christ within. Your prayer life moves into dimensions of faith from that platform of righteousness. When you know you are righteous, your faith will grow. When you think you're inferior, your faith will be damaged. And so that's why it's so important that we understand that Jesus hasn't just forgiven us, he has made us righteous. The new creation is righteous before God. Okay, so that is just such an important truth. Romans 10 speaks, this is speaking about the Jews who are trying to be righteous. Let's just read this. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. There we are. Their knowledge isn't divine knowledge. It's dark light. The Jews were zealous, but they didn't have divine light. So the Pharisees that attacked Jesus didn't have divine light. They thought they were right. Paul, Saul, he thought he was right, but he was wrong. Have you ever been caught by God with that one? I've thought I was right many times, and then suddenly light comes in and I go, oh, actually, God, I hadn't seen that. And that's why when God called you into his kingdom, he actually called you to walk in divine light so that you will be the head and not the tail. You see, knowing what God says and thinks puts you ahead of the game. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how wise you are in the natural. Divine knowledge is superior. Hopefully you've got two working together that will bring that gift of wisdom in your life. But it's God's wisdom, isn't it, that's from above, that it's pure, peaceable, willing to yield. So the Jews, he's saying, they are zealous but not based on knowledge. Since they did not know, verse 3, the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to Christ's or to God's righteousness. So their zeal, but they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're zealous. They're working to be right with God. They think they're right. And this scripture says they didn't submit to God's righteousness. And unless you submit to God's righteousness through the gift that comes through faith, you are not righteous. Because the only righteous people are those who are righteous by faith. Faith puts you into the new birth, into the kingdom of heaven, and faith says, I am the righteousness of God. Not by works, not by lack, not by what I couldn't do or didn't do, but by his righteousness. I stand before God, and one day I will stand before him totally based on what Jesus has done. And we all know that only because of Jesus are we going to heaven. Only because of his gift can we now live bringing the kingdom of heaven. So this platform of righteousness is essential to reign in life. Romans 5 said it, the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The purpose, what is God's purpose in making you righteous? Primarily, it's fellowship with him. Tell the person next to you what you've just heard. The purpose of God is to make you righteous because of fellowship. So without being made righteous, you and I can't have fellowship with God. Yeah? We can't talk to God and Him talk back in that free relationship with Him. Now, it gets into exciting territory when you believe you're righteous. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. My relationship with the Lord can never be based on how good I think I'm doing. Isn't that freedom? You know, once again, we've got this scale going up and down. I'm quite good. I'm fairly good. My prayer life's pretty minimal. We've got this scale. But Jesus actually lifts us to His perfection. Because we cannot approach a holy God without perfection. You cannot be in the presence of God without being holy. So He had to make you holy. Isn't that awesome? You couldn't have made it without Him making you. So He has made us righteous and holy in His sight. So that you and I can fellowship with Him. Now, from this platform of righteousness, we now see how to reign. This is the truth that sets us free. Righteousness is a truth that sets us free to reign in life. If we continue in that mindset. In Matthew chapter 14, let's read this amazing story of Jesus. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water. Came towards Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Now, Jesus, we see He goes up the mountain to pray. Now, this is the first step, your relationship with God, before you actually begin to walk reigning in life over your circumstances. Okay, so Jesus is shadowing here. He's showing that His prayer life enabled Him to receive divine knowledge. Now, there was also natural knowledge going on because the waves were buffeting the disciples in the middle of the lake. So life wasn't much fun in the middle of the lake. Okay? And sometimes we're in the middle of a lake not having much fun. I don't know if your circumstances sometimes make you feel like you're buffeted, you're being thrown around. There's not much fun going on in that situation. They're probably afraid. They're wondering if they can get to the other side. It's dark. And they're just powerless at the kind of mercy of the conditions. I want to tell you, we've never been created to be at the mercy of the conditions. Which is why Jesus gave us a gift of righteousness. So that we could reign in life. Just a good thought to have is you're not supposed to be struggling. Okay? But Jesus actually, He goes up the mountain and He prays. Now, when Jesus prayed, he didn't just pray about things. In prayer, he has this unbroken fellowship with God. In the same way that you have unbroken fellowship with God. Just thought I'd throw it out there because that's the truth. That you can talk to God just as Jesus. Why? Because of the gift of righteousness. So just as Jesus prayed, you can see what's available for you. Jesus is showing us what a righteous man can do. Hello. Jesus showed us what a righteous person could do. Now we know he is the Son of God, but he became fully man, who was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now God knows you're a person, but he knows that he has given you his spirit and his nature. So as he is, so are you in this world. Not in the next, although you will be. But in this world, you're like Jesus. Come out of your poverty thinking. Just shift your thinking. In this world, you're like him. Because Christ lives in you. You are righteous. God has declared you righteous. And so as Jesus prayed, it wasn't like, oh God, are you listening? I don't know, I don't feel like you're here. It's like, of course you're here, because you and I are one. The Bible says you are one spirit with the Lord. You are one spirit with the Lord. And so God is spirit. We don't commune with God out of our brain. See, this is what messes us up. We think that life is about a brain. It isn't. Life is about being a new man. Spirit, soul, and body. But God is spirit. And he lives in your spirit. And so you have communion with God through your spirit. And so by faith, we enter with boldness the holy place. Without any shame, any lack, and stand before God, made perfect in his eyes. Amazing, isn't it? That's why it's amazing grace. The abundance of the gift of righteousness. So, Jesus goes up to pray. And then, at the right time, he goes on a journey. But this time, he didn't get a boat. He walked on water. Now, Jesus never... You know, there aren't loads of stories about him walking on water. So he always did different things, which means that God isn't doing the same things over and over again in your life because life with God isn't boring. So one time he spoke to the storm to be quiet. The other time he's walking on it. He's walking on the water. So Jesus has heard something from the Father. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. So out of communion with God, he gets a word to walk on water to the disciples. This is the trigger that will release you to reigning in life. The knowledge that you're righteous, and then the communication of God to you on what to do. And without knowing you're righteous, you won't hear God. But knowing you're the righteousness of God will give you confidence to hear him. And that trigger will release you into supernatural living, reigning in life. I was telling some of the leaders on Wednesday night, 20 years ago, I was in the business world. I had just been saved, I think, probably 3 years. I loved Jesus. Didn't really know very much. You know, when you're first saved, you don't really know very much, but you love him. And God loves that, but he loves us to grow up too. So I kind of was starting to sense that God was wanting to speak to me, but I didn't really know about hearing God, or I wasn't in a church where really all this stuff is taught. I didn't know that I was the righteousness of God. But God, anyway, he communicated to me, and he spoke to me from Genesis 12. And from Genesis 12, it's the story of Abraham. It's the word of the Lord coming to Abraham to leave his country, to get out of his father's house, to go to a country that God would show him. I'll bless you, and you'll be a blessing. So I heard this three different ways. It came through my letterbox on a card. I heard it in a chapel in an airport. I went into the chapel before I flew off on holiday, and it was somebody was preaching this word. And it was like God was saying, yes, 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 get out, get out, get out, move. Okay. You know when you hear the word, you're like, how's that going to happen then? You know, as soon as you hear the word, your mind starts to compute. And if you're not careful, you'll drown the word with your knowledge. Okay, so I got light. I got divine knowledge. But at that point, I also had a lot of intellectual knowledge. I said to the Lord, it was at a time where the housing market was as flat as a pancake. So there was no house selling. So I had my own house. And I knew God said to me, you need to hand in your notice at the same time you put the house on the market. And I said, I think it would be wise, Lord. You know how you tell the Lord sometimes what to do? Wouldn't it be wise if I actually sold the house before I hand my notice in? You'd think in the natural, there is natural wisdom. But sometimes there's just a word that breaks through the whole lot and says, actually, I'm God. I'm God of the market. I'm God of the economy. I'm God of selling your house. So even though I had all this knowledge of the economy, I handed my notice in and then began to get scared. Is that all right, to be honest? I began to get a bit nervous. 1 month went by and I thought, I'm working a 3 month notice here. Money runs out, Lord, in 2 months. Then another month went by, and actually the waves looked even bigger. I'm in the boat, in a storm, thinking, God, unless you come through, I'm gone. And I remember getting on my face before God, and I said, actually, do you know, I remember the exchange, because sometimes there are those exchanges in prayer you never forget. I said, Lord, I feel like we're in a bit of a tennis match here. And I said, you've hit me your word, and I'm hitting back at you saying, sell the house then. I've done what you told me. And there was this boldness. I said, it's actually your responsibility. I've acted on your word, now sell my house. Next day, the house was sold. But it was like the ball is in your court, Jesus. I'm doing your bit, you know, that you told me to do. Now you do my bit. But the waves that acting on this word created were quite mind-boggling. People in the church started to criticize me, accuse me, saying I was no good. Why would I ever think of going into any kind of full-time ministry for God? I had no support from there. I actually had support from Joan and probably one other believer at that time. And only the word of the Lord from heaven. I was acting on a word, and the storms hit big time. And Jesus, you see, when he acted on this word that he had from heaven, he actually wanted to demonstrate that the Christian life actually works. That actually you can get out of the boat and walk above your circumstances. That it is actually possible to reign in life. And I know that by the grace of God, I just kept walking, and I'm still walking on that word 20 years later. My house was sold, provision was made. At every step, God has kept his promise as I have continued in his word. As I continue in his word, I will know the truth. I've had knowledge of God that I would never have had if I stayed in the boat. Now, let's put it like this. Jesus, this morning, is saying, actually, I've already overcome every circumstance that you're in. But it's not good enough for me to just overcome them. He wants you to overcome them. And so he's saying, I'm showing you a pattern in my word on how to win. First of all, you need to know you are righteous. And then what you need is revelation or divine knowledge, light from heaven. Because without light from heaven, the word from God, you can't walk on water. You can't live in dominion over your circumstances. You can't even live in dominion over negative emotions without the word. You can't rule in Christ without a word from heaven, without divine light, knowledge and revelation. So after Jesus received this word, he goes on the water. The disciples didn't recognize him because they'd never seen him do this before. And I was saying to the leaders, wouldn't this be a fantastic testimony for you this year? People wouldn't recognize you because you're walking so much in the Spirit. They haven't seen you doing stuff before because you're doing new things in God. Isn't that what God is saying this year? Reign in life. Walk out into new things. Don't just copy what you've always done in your Christian life. But let's walk through divine revelation, overcoming and winning in life. Peter actually gets, as he sees Jesus, after Jesus says, yes, it's me, tell me to come, Jesus says, come on the water. He actually begins to walk on the word. If I'd stayed in North Yorkshire 20 years ago and hadn't acted, I wouldn't have been here today. Because where you're going is conditional on you acting on what God says. The only way you can enter into this supernatural life is by hearing and doing the word. You understand that? The Christian life does not work with hearers only, with just knowledge in your head, or even with revelation. I've known Christians who spend their whole lives theorizing about revelation. What good is it unless you do it? Because the power is released in the doing. And so Jesus didn't say, yes, in theory, you could walk on water, Peter. And Peter didn't stay in the boat dreaming about walking on water. Oh, what a lovely thought. Yes, I'm there, Jesus, I can just feel it. I can sense it. Oh, yes. It's happening. He got out of the boat. You see, the word will move you out of the natural law of what's going on and into the power of the law of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Peter walks on water to Jesus, but then he lost his focus. And there are so many distractions that come, but the grace of God is that we will not sink. He will keep us lifted up. But I truly believe everybody in that boat could have walked on water. I believe everybody in this room who's a new creation can walk on water. I believe you're righteous in Christ. Do you? I believe you can have the same prayer life Jesus had. I believe you can hear from God. And I believe you can simply act on what God is saying and see the miraculous power released in your circumstances. The waves will always dominate Christians who don't hear and do the word. You will remain under the circumstances. But hearing God and acting on what he is saying will bring victory in your life. Let us take these truths this morning. I trust you've heard. If you continue in the truth that you're righteous, you will live in freedom. If you continue to live as a citizen of heaven, shifting your thinking about how life now works by hearing God and doing it. That's how your life will work. hear God and do it. And of course, that gives me a great opening for tonight. We are having encounter meetings, it's beginning this evening, where God is going to speak and empower and minister. There's going to be a divine exchange where we're just opening up time, just leading a little bit, but just facilitating those who are wanting God to change them and to speak to them, to come into an environment where we can really accommodate that and see God speak, where you can meet with God and be changed. Your prayer life is far more important than you know, because in it is the secret of listening and hearing his voice. In a place where Jesus went up on a mountainside where he could hear God. He didn't stay with the disciples. He moved away. And I believe we need to find those places that help us to actually be in an environment to hear God. And as we hear his word and continue in his word, we will walk in the supernatural. Everything God says to me that I do is working and will work. Everything you hear God say to you and do will work. Are you listening? Do you know that you're righteous and that you can be unashamed? You're not inferior in his presence. You can be as bold as Jesus before the throne of grace. And you can find what you need from God to walk on the waves. You see, isn't it interesting in this situation, the waves didn't stop. It's just that Peter ruled them. Sometimes circumstances don't change immediately, but we still are in a position of peace, of ruling, and saying, actually, I'm not under, I'm over. And you know, we've not been created to be under. We've been created to live over. To rule the earth, to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the truth that sets us free. Shall we stand together?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.